try this again.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits. Each week, we feature a different 501(c) charitable organization that provides services to the South Florida community. Presented as a public service by Beasley Media Group, Incorporated. And now, here's today's show.
Hey, welcome, nonprofit community, and it is a beautiful day in South Florida. We are so lucky to live down here with so many great nonprofits and caring people and hardworking people down here in beautiful, sunny South Florida. I'm grateful to live down here, definitely in the winter. And I'm Kara Zimmerman, and we are here with the Forum for Nonprofits, specially sponsored by the Spirit of Giving Network. And they do truly wonderful work in our community and help over 60 nonprofits, supporting them, meetings, information, and having this great show. So we have a forum for nonprofits to come and talk about what they do and for us to get to know them better. And hopefully you'll get your pen and paper out and take notes from Molly Murphy. She's the executive director at Equine Assisted Therapies, along with David Plath, who's the development director, the DD over at Equine. I'm so grateful that you are both here on a very busy day. But wow, horses. Okay, let's just talk about, you know, they're more than just a horse, I'm thinking, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kara, for having both of us here. It is a beautiful day. We are staring out of amazing picture window, and it's blue skies, if you can imagine. But
beautiful
day. Our animals, our horses, are definitely more than just horses. They are partners in progression, partners in therapy, and for a lot of our students, partners in a hobby and a sport. The key to what the horse provides is the three-dimensional movement during a mounted lesson. But there's also so many unmounted benefits that a horse also provides as well. So I'll speak to the movement. The three-dimensional movement matches what a typical person or how a typical person moves. So for an individual with a physical disability or someone who uses a walker or a wheelchair, they're finally receiving that muscle input that they basically never receive while on the back of a horse. So that is most important. And then on the ground, the horses provide, I'll call it a security blanket, if you will, but an opportunity for people to really understand a little bit more about themselves, get connected to an animal, learn leadership skills, confidence, because they're taking care of this beast that really relies on someone to take care of them. So we teach people, our students in our equine facilitated learning program, for example, how to feed horses, how to take care of horses. And that's been huge for a lot of our students.
I'm just taking notes because it's so interesting in case I get to come out and visit and ride one of the horses. Is this something new, like a new phenomenon that a horse with a developmentally disabled person, the coordination of those two, the animal with the person, is it something new that they've discovered works or gives that person more confidence, you were saying? What was that finding?
I wouldn't say it's new by any means. I mean, horses have been used as a modality for treatment, you know, since the Greeks started using them for therapy. One of our programs is hippotherapy. Hippo is Greek for horse, where a physical therapist uses the horse as a tool in stretching muscles, building muscles. I would say it's become, you know, what we do and what our mission provides has definitely become more popular because people are more interested in a holistic perspective and taking care of the whole person and giving individuals, especially those with special needs, more of an outlet. So it's not just therapy. It's about, you know, fulfilling a hobby or, you know, a sport and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about a horse. I when I grew up, I just loved horses. I'd always draw pictures of horses, and my mom would take me out to look at them. And I remember this one horse ate my straw hat right off my head. They're hungry. So you need money to feed these horses. That's probably where David comes in to develop funds and community awareness.
Like any nonprofit, we have a very numerous ways that we reach out to the community, whether it's through special events, whether it's through direct fundraising or grant writing. We do receive a lot of grants from not only local foundations, but foundations across the country to help us with providing scholarships for our participants, as well as providing care for our horses. If you can imagine, for our horses, currently we have 12 horses. Each of those horses approximately takes about $7,500 per year per horse.
Wow,
$7,500
a year times 12. Yeah, that's just a piece of probably the money that you need.
That is just the piece of caring for the horses.
Yeah.
That does not include any emergency care that we might need for the horses.
Oh,
so that can go up as
Veterinarians.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The running, it's actually not a joke. It's very true. I heard it from someone else where if you're a horse owner, it's like having a six-year-old child constantly. And it is very true. So horses need the farrier, so someone to take care of their feet on a regular basis. If something anything that's veterinary emergency, the vet needs to come out immediately. So it's one of those things where we're always keeping an eye on our six-year-old children, our 12 six-year-olds who are in the barn. And, you know, our horse herd, their ages range. Our oldest is 24, our youngest is 8. So, you know, as horses age, they also need extensive care. So things like feed and specialized supplements and things like that. So our barn manager, Jesse Alvarez, works very hard to maintain the herd and keep them, you know, supple and ready to work every day.
And it's really important for us to keep them ready to work every day, because for so many of our participants, we try to make sure that there's consistency in the program for them. Consistency with the same instructor, the same horse, the same volunteers, if at all possible, just so that they have that. They know where they're coming to, they know what they're getting, and there are no surprises.
How did you pick those 12 horses? They must be a little, you know, special, because they have to do some different kind of work.
They are
right?
Very special, absolutely, Kara.
Yeah.
And as, you know, a horse crazy girl yourself, you'll know that every horse is different, just like people. And so we really go through a pretty rigorous process, a trial process. If horses seem like a good fit, they have to come into our program sound at all three gates. That's the walk, trot, and the canter. And they have to be extremely patient individuals. They have to be able to withstand not only a multitude of riders of different abilities on their backs, but they also have to be patient with our volunteers as well. Our volunteer base, most of them don't have horse experience, so we're training people to be good horsemen and horsewomen, and we're using our horses to help them do that. So in any one student can take upwards of 3 to 4 volunteers if needed. So the horses have to be able to be patient enough with 2 sidewalkers, a leader, an instructor around them at all times.
Wow. Now, are these horses donated to you, or do you have to purchase them, or a little bit of both?
It's definitely a little bit of both, and David and I have really worked hard in identifying, you know, that mixture of both. The majority of our horses are donated, and we've rescued a few.
Wow.
And then we have very generous volunteers and individuals who have said to us, I would love to purchase your next therapy horse. So
Whoa.
They've helped with those donations of those amazing, absolutely amazing gifts.
Oh. Like, you could name the horse after that person, like, whoever donated, like, and they could come and take care of it and be a part of that horse, right? The blanket would have their name on it, because I'm thinking, like, I don't know, something unique that would tie them to that horse, but isn't that nice?
Because mm-hmm.
they're not cheap. The horse, I remember my neighbor's daughter, they own a horse, and she's always talking to me about what it costs, and she's riding out to the barn, and that was an expensive sport that her daughter got involved in. And I said, what about baseball? No, she wanted a horse, and it's costing a fortune. So, yeah, I kind of get that this is a huge responsibility of, you know, animals. But living in Florida, too, thankfully, they have 12 months of good weather. You don't have to worry about the snow or, you know, the maintenance that way.
Right, exactly.
You know?
We are blessed beyond belief.
We're even more blessed once I don't know if you're aware, but we're located right within Tradewinds Park off of Sample Road and the Turnpike. And one of the things when we first moved there in 1989, we only had a barn and just paddocks. In 2009, we erected a beautiful covered riding arena. So now you can imagine that our participants are able to be on those horses any day possible, rain or shine, able to be in the arena working on themselves.
And how do these really lucky, fortunate people get to be a part of your program? How does that work?
It's predominantly word of mouth. Our parents are wonderful, and they talk to other parents, and sometimes doctors recommend our interventions to people that they see, to especially pediatric patients, and associations. So if you're connected to someone like the Multiple Sclerosis Association, or maybe you are connected to the Children's Services Council, whether of Palm Beach or Broward, you know, we are part of a lot of organizations that connect, including Spirit of Giving, that connect people that need services. And so mainly, though, it's word of mouth. And people start out with a phone interview where we're collecting basic information about individuals' long and short-term goals. And then from there, we send them a program application, which a doctor sign-off, medical sign-off, is required to be able to participate in our program. And then from there, they're scheduled for an assessment, which is $25 and pays for the instructor's time. And it's really at that assessment that we determine which class and which instructor, which horse would be best suitable for that individual that's being assessed. And from there, you know, we try our best to schedule and what we have available. What I say to any parent or anyone who's interested in our services is to give us as much availability as possible, because that helps us place people most appropriately, as opposed to I only have Tuesdays at 5 available. We might not have anything available Tuesdays at 5, but we want to be able to help you. So if we have a variety of times and days to choose from, we will do our very best to fit you in.
Well, do you think you could use more than 12 horses, or is that the max? Are you maxed out at 12, or does David have to get a few more horses over there?
At this point, we are maxed out at 12. Wow. Because our barn is a 12-stall barn. So as we, though, begin to retire some horses, we will be out there looking for new horses to replace and replenish the herd with more amazing animals.
I love that, the herd, right? The herd, the herd of horses, right?
That's what it is, exactly.
The herd of horses at Equine Assisted Therapy. What a beautiful thing you're doing. My gosh. I'm excited to come out. I love horses. I mean, just like petting them. When your clients just pet that horse, I'm sure at first they might be a little intimidated because they're big.
They are big.
Those guys are big and tall. You have to have a foot step thing to step up and get your foot in there.
For one of them, we definitely do, yes.
One of the things, too, is our program, we start at age 4.
Oh, my gosh. We forgot to talk about that. That's age 4.
And right now, our oldest rider is, I believe, 77.
Really?
So it really is for any
Everybody.
And all ages. There, unless there's a contraindication to being able to be on a horse, we are open to all.
Wow. So is there a charge, a fee? Do they get an hour time slot, and is there a charge for that?
So our general way that we work the program is we run 3 10-week sessions each year in spring, fall, and winter. Once you've gone through the enrollment process, we try to slot you in. The general cost is $550 for a 10-week session. If for some reason you do have more financial need, we do have a scholarship fund that is available for you. you would apply for that as well, and that can drop the price. Because we really want to make sure that this program is open to all.
That's so amazing. And Molly, how did you get started in with horses? Because it is quite unique, your little niche.
It is very unique.
Yes, like you. Very special.
I was a participant in the program. I started when I was 7 years old.
Really?
So I rode in the days before the covered arena. So all of our students are very lucky that they get to ride underneath the VEGSO covered arena. I have a disability called spastic cerebral palsy. So for me, I had no idea that it was therapy when I came in as a kid. I was just a horse crazy girl, horses all over my room. This was like the best thing that could ever happen
to
me.
Did you draw them also?
The best I could, Kara.
Anything,
yeah,
right?
Anything. I had a name for my horse if I ever got one.
Yeah.
I mean, this was absolutely the best thing that could ever happen.
Yes.
Unbeknownst to me, it became something that I needed and flourished off of. And, you know, my muscles naturally are very tight. So with the movement of the horse, that three-dimensional movement that I was mentioning before, it loosened muscles that were inherently tight for me. And prevented actually a couple of surgeries for me, because you're sitting, you know, on the horse, you're stretching those muscles that are typically closed off, and it was just fantastic. So what started as a therapy turned into, well, what was already something that I loved was a therapy, and then turned into a hobby and a career choice and everything that I could possibly want out of life. So I have a lot of thanks and a lot of, you know, just admiration for the animals and also the organization, because I've seen people transcend, their special needs because of these creatures and because of our instructors that put in the time and the relationships that are built with volunteers. You know, there are friendships that are built. You know, for people with special needs, they may or may not have friends outside of the barn. And, you know, when you come to the barn, everybody's equal. The horse is the greatest equalizer because, you know, it doesn't matter what special need or what disability you have. They level the playing field. You know, you could be able-bodied and be at the same level as one of our riders at equine-assisted therapies or one of our participants at equine-assisted therapies. And that really is, you know, that's why we're here.
I mean, you really have the dream of so many people. If you think about it, you know, how many of us get to do our life's work or, you know, experience that from age 7, and then there, here you are, the executive director of a place that means so much to you, and you personally can show the people that come how it's helped you. You know, you're a living example. That's a great story, Molly. What about some other stories of participants, that some testimonials, anything come to mind of someone like you comes in and age 4, 7, 10, whatever, and gets to use your program?
Well, I'll speak at it from both ends of the spectrum. You know, for our younger students, it's about the parents, and it's about the moment of respite that those parents receive when their children are being...
For
an hour. When their children are being taken care of by someone who is trained and certified. And, you know, riding can be dangerous. Riding is risky. You know, anything in life is risky. We are a premier accredited center with the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship. We're the only one in Broward County. Our instructors are the tops, bar none. They make sure, just as teachers do, that they have the continuing education units to do what they do. So for our parents of our younger kids, it's a moment to watch their children really succeed. We've had students who come in, you know, working on speaking or are semi-nonverbal, and they call their horse for the first time. Or, you know, we just had a student on our weekend say Happy New Year. So those are wonderful moments, not only for the children, but also for the parents, because, yes, they can absolutely do all of the things that you hope that they can do. And this is a small piece of that, where we're breaking down those barriers. And for our adults, you know, a lot of our adult participants have, you know, late onset special needs, where they're living a new life. They didn't grow up with a disability. They, you know, they're new to the disability community. Something that David and I talk about often is that, you know, the community of special needs is something that anybody can transition into at any time. So it's actually the largest minority group in the world, because you can be born into it, as I am, or you can, you know, be diagnosed later on in life with something that impedes your ability to do certain things. So for our adults, it's really social. You know, they come, everybody comes once a week, same time, and they come, they ride with their peers. Everybody's matched based on their age and their ability level. So no 4-year-olds riding with our 77-year-old or participating with our 77-year-old. But they're getting a chance to make friends and, you know, talk to the other participants and to laugh and have a good time. And that's a whole nother side of what we do that's really important, is providing that social aspect.
And what would you say, well, and also we'll get to, thank you, that's beautifully said. What challenges are you facing currently? Anything that you want to speak of, and David to speak at, in terms of some needs? Do you need volunteers? Do you need, what can we do to help you continue this wonderful program that you provide for so many that we need to take care of these horses and the people that use them?
Well, like you said, one of the biggest needs is volunteers. If you can imagine for our program, as Molly mentioned earlier, a participant, a rider, may have up to 4 volunteers that will help them at any one given time. Right now, our program volunteers, we have about 160 program volunteers. Those volunteers are in and out. You know, some are snowbirds who are here for just a few months. Others are students who are getting their community service hours. About 40% of our students are volunteers are getting their community service hours, which is pretty amazing. They'll start with us at age 14 and go through high school and come back from college and help out when they can.
You know, and thank you for that, because there's not that many places that young people can go and get those community service hours. You know, they have to be a certain age, or they don't, you know, there's nothing for them to do at that young age. So great, because they do need to graduate. They have to have community service hours.
Well, and we've had parents that have mentioned to us, not only are they getting the community service hours, but they've seen a difference in their schoolwork, as well as how they interact with people at home and in school.
Wow. How about that?
Or
that's huge.
We have people that, you know, may not clean their bedrooms at home, but will come clean a stall.
So yeah, go figure.
Come on down.
Yeah, the parents are like, wait a minute, that's my kid?
You know? Exactly.
And something you mentioned too, Molly, when people come for that same hour every week, you know, they're developing friendships amongst the parents whose children have special needs, you know, because they understand maybe more than someone else doesn't have a child with those needs. So that also is providing a service for those parents who are waiting. They've got that commonality, which is, you know, speaks volumes again to what you do. Sorry, I interrupted you, David. Go ahead.
No, you're good, Kara.
I just can't. I just love talking about this. Go ahead. You know better. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted again.
So that's from a volunteer standpoint. We're always looking for volunteers. What we do is we ask volunteers to commit to a 10-week session. So again, like we talked about earlier, the consistency, the same day, the same time, so that they have that consistency as well. So basically, we're looking for like a 2-hour commitment. You're there before the class, you're there for the hour class, and then you're helping clean up after the class. From a fundraising standpoint, you know, we're looking for people to get involved. Every month or every other month, I run just a introductory program called either Carrots and Coffee or Ponies and Pints.
No way.
And it's just
too cute. Oh my gosh, I love that.
And we always make sure that we schedule them while there's a class going on, so people can actually see our mission in action.
Did you come up with that, David? That's very cute.
Well, I think the Carrots and Coffee was before my time, but we added Ponies and Pints.
Yeah, you added the pints. The Ponies and Pints. That's so cute. Well, you know what, right? As a nonprofit and you're all trying to get the same dollars, you have to come up with something very unique and different to, you know, interest people. It's awesome.
One of the sad things that we find, Molly and I find when we're out talking to the community, is how many people have never heard of us.
Never heard of you.
Even though they've lived in either Coconut Creek or
right
Coral
there.
Springs, Deerfield Beach, Pompano Beach, don't realize that we're within the park. And that's our biggest challenge, really, is getting the word out there. And thank you for this kind of a program that allows nonprofits to get the word out.
So with our minute left, Molly, David, give us phone number, website. How do we find you? Because we need to make sure that people find you.
Yes. Give us a call. Our number is 954-974-2007. And our website is www.equine.com. That's EQUINE, A as in apple, T as in Tom, S as in Samantha, F as in Frank.org.
Wonderful. Thank you both for coming today. All the best.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Kara.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented each week as a public service of the Beasley Media Group, Incorporated. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.